Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 160, stanzas 1 through 4. O God, give ear unto my cry, and to my voice attend, though far from home and from thy house, to thee my prayers ascend. 1 through 4 of 160. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Hebrews chapter 11, we'll begin with verse 17. Hebrews 11, verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God and then to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, and when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, and they were sawn asunder, and were tempted, and were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. And they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, Thou who art King of Thy Church, and Thou who providest everything necessary that that Church may be born, that that Church may be called, that that Church may be gathered, and that will go through a way, as we have read, contrary to their flesh. But there shall not be one that is left behind, and it shall be a people of whom that the world is not worthy. Lord, that Thou may grant that we also with our children may be included in that true church, that Thou wilt call and Thou wilt convert even to the last day in this world. And so Thou givest that this day may come again, thy holy Sabbath day, and that we may wake in safety and with a measure of health and strength in this morning to come up round about thy word and everlasting testimony. But there are those that are not able to come up with us in this morning. Thou knowest where that they are, Lord, that thou may remember them, each of them, in the circumstances into which that thou hast brought them, and that thou may give health and strength again in the body, and that thou may give what is necessary to do their labors day by day. But that also in this morning, when they are far from thy house, that thou may remember them in their place and grant them also a blessing, and that thou may appear in thy favor, and also unto us and unto our children, that in this day in thy house thy spirit may dwell. Oh, that thou may come to visit us from above, and that thou may bless us with undeserved blessings out of thy heavenly store, that that faith that we have read of in thy word, whereby thy true church that will be afflicted and persecuted to the end of time may be strengthened and enabled to endure, that through faith they may receive the kingdom, and that they may receive the blessing. Lord, remember us. We have no faith by nature. We have religion, and we may have much religion, but we need true faith. Give it then to us and to our dear children, that by faith we may believe that thou art, that by faith we may believe that we have to appear before thee, that by faith we may see all the wretchedness and the sin that thou declarest in thy word to be in our nature. That by faith we may receive a little sight of thy only begotten Son, that we may believe in thee, and that we may receive that blessed comfort for our own soul. Lord, look on us. It is thy day, and we gather together round about thy holy word. But without thee we can do nothing, not in the preaching, and also not in the hearing. But be thou on our right and on our left in thy mercy. Look upon all those that seek to gather the harvest in the fields in these weeks. Lord, thou knowest the circumstances into which that thou hast brought us. Then so often we have besought thee for the rain from the skies in the years that have gone by. And now, Lord, thou hast blessed us with plentiful rain. And now, what do we wait for? Lord, thou knowest what is necessary. That thou may now withhold it. That thou may give a little sunshine. That thou may give a little dryness. That thou may supply, that the farmers may be able to gather their crops. It is all in thy hands, everything in thy providence. And if it pleases thee to judge us so that we are not able to gather in the labors of our hands, then could it please thee to so humble us under thy afflicting hand that our hearts may be given to bow under thy rod, and that thou may instruct us in our sin, turn us therefrom, and draw our hearts to seek and to find thee. Do bless
Bless the means that may be used to our true conversion, the callings that are in nature, and the callings that do come to us out of thy holy word, and that thou may look then upon us in this day, that thou may supply for us in the preaching, and that thou may supply for us in the hearing, and that thou may be in the midst of us as one that serveth. Do look upon all widows, widowers, and orphans, and all those that have special needs known to thee. Wilt thou supply for needs of the mind, for needs of the body. Remember thy truly sent servants over the length and breadth of this whole world. When thou givest another Sabbath day, Lord, then who is sufficient for these things? Oh, that thou thyself may take away all that hinders, that thou may endue us with power from on high, and thy Holy Spirit in a rich measure, and that we may receive clarity in our mind, and that we may receive love in our soul, and that thy Spirit may be evidently in the midst of us as one that serveth to grant us the undeserved blessing. Forgive thou and keep us from all sin for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 242, stanzas 1 through 4. Almighty God, in thy lofty throne, has justice for its cornerstone, and shining bright before thy face are truth and love and boundless grace. Psalter 242, all stanzas. Thank you.
And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. It was not congregation for the enemy. No, that was for God's true church. That was a very special meal. That was a meal that had a very great meaning, a very special significance. Thus, it was necessary when they would partake of that meal and that they would be circumcised. It was a meal that was to help faith. What has taken the place of the Passover in the New Testament, that is the New Testament sacrament of the Holy Supper, that is for the strengthening of faith. So that was also for the children of Israel. And why was that so necessary? Well, what was going to happen in that night, children? Then you know that it was the night and that the children of Israel would be delivered. Thus, everything had to be prepared. And thus, it was necessary that the children of Israel believed, that they believed the word of the Lord. Because had they never believed the word of the Lord, they had never prepared, and they had to be ready because they were going to go out of the land in that night. Do you believe the word of the Lord? That also in this life that we need to be prepared. Thus the Lord gave to them the Passover. And that meal that consisted in three things. That was, what was it, children? Bitter herbs, roasted lamb, and unleavened bread. Do you remember? And then there is more. Had a great meaning. Do you remember what it meant? Three things: misery, deliverance, and gratitude. That is the doctrine. Precious doctrine. Do you know that doctrine, young people? Do you believe that doctrine? Do you love that doctrine? Doctrine is necessary. But if it remains with doctrine, and there is nothing more than doctrine, then it is possible that we go lost with our doctrine, with a precious doctrine, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. But that is not all. No, there is more. And that what is more, that is not just an insignificant part. No, that is also a very important part. And this we wish with the Lord's help to consider with you in this morning out of the words of our text, which you can find in the portion in which you can find in Exodus 12. In Exodus 12, the 13th verse, only these words, Exodus 12, verse 13, and When I see the blood, I will pass over you. So far, the words of our text. The promise to pass over. First, the requirement for this passing over. And second, the basis of this passing over. The promise to pass over. First, the requirement for it. And second, the basis of it. Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Who is speaking? That is Aaron. To whom is he speaking? He is speaking unto Pharaoh. Does he speak for himself? Oh, Aaron, we know he is but a mouthpiece. He is the mouthpiece of whom? He is the mouthpiece of Moses. Thus, he stands for Moses. Instead, we read of a mouth. But Moses, we read, he stands for him instead of God. Thus, it is not a message from Aaron. It is not a message from Moses. No, it is a message from God himself unto Pharaoh. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Firstborn. Firstborn are those who received a very special privilege. Thus, it is very significant that the Lord says concerning his people, not only that they are my son, but that they are my firstborn son. Jacob was chosen to receive the special blessing of the firstborn. By nature, that blessing would have gone unto Esau. But the Lord has chosen Jacob to receive that blessing. And then it was not for the natural blessings. No, Esau, he has received also many of those natural blessings. But that blessing for that chosen people, that very special blessing, that very high privilege, that is a spiritual blessing. At first, Esau wanted to kill Jacob. Did he do that, children? No, he did not do that. Later on, we read that he kissed Jacob. Well, why is that? That was the hand of the Lord, certainly. But from the side of Esau, he did not care for those spiritual blessings anyway. He did not from the days of his youth. He did not even unto the day that he died. And therefore, he could still kiss Jacob. And he can say to Jacob, you may have all of that blessing because I have sufficient on all the blessings of this world. Oh, is that also what lives in our hearts? That it does not matter to us when we will not receive, when we will miss the blessing of the firstborn, when we will miss the blessing which is the highest blessing, which is the greatest privilege. Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Thus the Lord says that above all the nations in the world, that he is going to raise the children of Israel to receive the greatest blessings. Is that now the same people who have not heard a word from the Lord now for several centuries? Is that now that people
400 years after the death of Joseph, and still they have not heard from the Lord? Is that now the people of whom the Lord says, "My son, my firstborn"? Is that now the people that are groaning under the taskmasters of the Egyptians, that have to serve with rigor, that have to serve with a very hard bondage? Say ye to Pharaoh, "Israel is my son, even my firstborn." The Lord has a firstborn in this world. Thus today, it is no different than it was in the days of Moses. It is his own church. It is a church that he has chosen, not because they are any different in themselves than anyone else, not because that Jacob was any different than Esau, no, but out of the sovereign good pleasure of the Lord. And they are loved by the Lord. But how is it so often from the side of the people? Oh, how long a time has it been since they have heard a word from the Lord? How long a time has it been since the Lord is speaking unto them? How often is it not from the side of the people that they are left to groan under the taskmasters of Egypt? And yet the Lord says, "My firstborn." A people of a special privilege above all the nations and above all the people that are in this world. No, not temporally, but spiritually, though they be an afflicted and a poor people. Thus saith the Lord, "Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn." Thus, Pharaoh also has a firstborn. And so do all the inhabitants of Egypt. They have a firstborn. And what does the Lord do? The Lord instructs Pharaoh in his relation to his own people. He says to Pharaoh, "Do you have a firstborn? Do you love your firstborn? Is your firstborn holding a very special place within your heart? Does he receive from you that special privilege? I, Pharaoh, I also have a people. I also have a firstborn. And as your heart that goes after your firstborn, so my heart goes after my firstborn. That no one is able to touch them. And when you will touch them, you touch Pharaoh, the apple of mine eye." Thus Pharaoh, he is left without excuse. Thus saith the Lord, "Israel is my son, even my firstborn." But now that love for that firstborn, that is not sufficient
for the salvation of that firstborn. No, not even that eternal electing love of the Father is in itself sufficient for the salvation of His church. No, that love that is a moving cause, because He is not moved by our wretchedness, but that love in Himself for His church, that is for Him a moving cause, and God will finish His own work, but that love in itself, that is insufficient. Therefore, what did the Lord say? He said that they had to kill the Passover, and they had to eat it over bitter herbs with unleavened bread. Why? Because that love in itself, that was not sufficient. More was necessary. And therefore, we have seen that lamb that has been slain. But then, the Lord still says there remains something else. What is it? He says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast." Thus there is more. There has been a feast. But now there is coming the night. Now there is coming a destroying angel. That angel will be dispatched, as it were, from heaven. Pharaoh has been warned. Pharaoh will not listen. All Egypt that does resist the commandment of the Lord. And if all is well, next time we hope to hear more of this. But now today, about the children of Israel, there is a destroying angel that is coming in the night. And there is nothing in that whole people of Israel which exempts them from that destroying angel. Because that destroying angel, that is a picture, it is a representation of the justice of God against sin. You say that people, they are loved by the Lord. Yes, that is true. That people, they are loved by the Lord. But that is insufficient. Love that is not able to turn away the punishment for sin. What place, congregation, does love have in the court of law? Darius, we read, he sought to deliver Daniel. Why? Because he loved Daniel. But all the love of his heart was not able to deliver him. It cannot come above the law. It is just the opposite. When we are a friend, when we are a relative, when there is love, when there is relation in the court, then you are out of the court. Why? Lest justice is not served on account of that love. Thus, yes, they are loved by God, but that love that is insufficient. We have seen the first three plagues. Those first three plagues, they have affected not only the Egyptians, but they have affected also the Israelites. In the plagues, the fourth through the ninth, then we see that they were plagues that did not affect the Israelites. They were only upon the Egyptians. Why? Was there a distinction within the people? No, we read in God's word. Why? Because the Lord himself speaks unto Pharaoh, and he says that I am going to put a difference. I will sever, he says, in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell. Why? To the end that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. I do it, Pharaoh, for my own name's sake. Now there is the last plague. And what is the last plague? The last plague is the plague of death. And that plague of death, that is not just a chastisement. There are many chastisements whereby the Lord chastises his church. But death is not a mere chastisement. No, death is the wages of sin. There is no coming back anymore from death. And thus, when the Lord says that the wages of sin is death, he does not qualify it. There is no exception to this. This is applicable to everyone. Why? Because that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb. That was the command of the Lord to Israel, whom he loved. And that love of God that does direct the children of Israel to their own safety. And what was that way? The Lord says, the lamb. Outside of that lamb, there is no safety. Justice, he says, has to be satisfied. That is the only way. Otherwise, God cannot be God. He cannot deny himself. Thus, love. Love has provided for the church that lamb, that way of substitution. Is that good now? What do you think, children? Is that all good now? Are they safe now? Oh, you say no. No, they are not safe now. They're not safe yet. No, you say there is still something missing. But that blood is shed, is it not? But that lamb that has been slain, has it not? And is that not lamb not received now by the Lord as a substitute for his people? No, you say, no, there is still something that is missing. And that is right. What still has to happen? What did the Lord command? And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts, with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. Thus, there is a great difference between blood that has been shed and blood that is applied. Thus, that blood that has to be shed, but that blood cannot remain in that basin. When that blood is remaining in that basin, then it is completely ineffectual to save the people of the Lord. No, that lamb that may be slain, but those firstborn, oh, the firstborn, the representative of that true church of God, that lamb that may be slain, but that firstborn is still in so much danger. And why? Because they are not behind that blood. 2,000 years ago, that blood has been shed. 2,000 years ago, that blood has been poured out. Have none been lost since? Multitudes, multitudes, we read in that valley of decision. No, the Lord Jesus did not die. He did not shed his blood for the whole world. Here we have the testimony from heaven itself that more is necessary than the shedding of the blood of the Son of God. Something, congregation, needs to be known. Something needs to be felt also in our life. Thus, there is an objective part, the slaying of the lamb, but now there is also a subjective part. There is that which took place 2,000 years ago. Oh yes, how necessary that was, that it would take place, because without it, every one of us would be lost. Indeed, though men want to deny an atonement, a propitiation for sin had to be made. Thus, there is that which has taken place 2,000 years ago. But there is also that which has to take place even today. And when we miss this part of it, we are still going to be destroyed by that destroying angel. And when I see the blood, where? Oh, when I see the blood, where? When I see that blood in the basin? No. No, when I see that blood on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses. Oh, that is the place where that destroying angel is going to be looking for that blood. He is not going to look, congregation, on Golgotha for that blood. No, he is going to look for that blood as it has been applied to your soul and to my soul. He is going to look for that blood as it has been received personally by a true faith within our own heart. Oh, then the only safety of that firstborn, that only safety is when they may be behind that blood. And when they were not behind it anymore, then they were not safe. Thus, it was not until that blood was applied to the doorposts of those houses that it becomes personal. Outside of this, it remains general. Oh, how personal. How personal. that it has to become in the life of a person. How personal that it has to become in your life and in my life. Because when it does not become personal, we still go lost, though we have heard it over and over our whole life long. Who knows the necessity of this? Do you know the necessity of this? That the application of that blood of Christ may become personal also for you? For whom? Who knows that necessity? Well, let us go to the land of Goshen. And let us see who knows that necessity of the application of that blood. We will go to the land of Goshen. We will go to an Israelitish home. After that Passover has been slain, and after everyone may partake now of that Passover, and when darkness may be fast overshadowing all the land of Egypt, and when we go into one of these Israelitish homes, there we see a great bustle. There everything is being prepared. Then the father is busy and the mother is busy because it is a very special time. It will be the last evening. It will be the last night in the land of Egypt. And that meal had to be eaten with their shoes on their feet, with their staff in their hand, that they may be ready, we read, to depart. Then we see the children. For the children. And then it is maybe even somewhat exciting, boys and girls. They do not understand everything that is going on. No, maybe they are jostling with one another, or maybe their mother has said, "Child, you must now go to bed for a little while." And then we see one that is not able to play. And we see one that is not able to laugh. And we see one who is sitting very quietly. And we see one who has gone maybe to their bed, but they are not able to sleep. But they are turning over and over in their bed. Who is it? Yes, it seems to be one who is just a little bit bigger than all of the rest. Yes, it seems even to be the oldest one. The oldest one. And he cannot laugh. And he cannot sleep. And he cannot play. Are there such boys and girls here too that sometimes cannot laugh and cannot play? Cannot sleep. And finally he gets up. And he goes to his father. And he says, "Father." And he says, "Yes, my son. Why do you not sleep? Why do you not lay down in the night? Why do you not get a little rest? And then that boy, he says, Father, Father, the blood. The blood. Has that blood been stricken on the doorpost of our house too? Or do you understand it? There is a people for whom it becomes so personal. There is a people for whom it is not enough that Christ has died. There is a people for whom it is insufficient that he has given his life upon the cross of Calvary. Who is that people? It is the firstborn. It is that highly privileged people of the Lord. It is a people that have been chosen by him and loved by him from the foundation of the world. But it is a people who have had to do with the sentence of death over everyone else. It has become so real to them. That arrow has been directed not at my brother, not at my sister, not at my father, not at my mother, but that arrow that has been directed at me. There is a people that have to die and that cannot die. The love of God. Oh, yes, the love of God. Are they strangers of the love of God? Oh, no, they are not strangers of this. Sometimes in that house of God, oh, they may testify how that love of God that has been poured out in their soul. Sometimes they have spoken in their life of the love of God. But it is not enough. It is not enough. All love is not enough in the court. Even the love of God is not enough when I have to stand in the judgment seat of God himself. Because as Darius is not able to deliver Daniel by his love, so God is not able, humanly speaking, to deliver his people by his love. And why not? Because there is a justice that has to be satisfied, and the Lord, he does not descend from the throne of his justice that he may ascend the throne of his mercy. No. It is impossible. Oh, there is more than love that is necessary. There is a righteousness that is necessary. There is a substitute that is necessary. And it is an application that is necessary also to my own soul, or I am going to perish forever and forever. Yes, my son. Yes. Yes, I have done. I have done according to the commandment of the Lord. I have taken the blood. And I have dipped that hyssop in that blood, my boy. And I have stricken it upon the two side posts and above the door of our house. Father, are you sure? So we see that Father, boys and girls, what does He do? He takes His Son by the hand. And He takes a little light, a little candle, because it is so dark. And He brings him for a moment to look. And He puts that light, a little light, so that that boy may see it. That he may see it just for a moment for himself. That it is there. Let us sing. 248. One, three, five, and six. The man who once has found abode within the secret place of God shall with Almighty God abide, and in His shadow safely hide. 1, 3, 5, and 6 of 248. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Our second thought that is the basis of this passing over. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto you into your houses to smite you. It was, congregation, on the night of the Passover, two kinds of people in the land of Egypt. They were the firstborn and all the rest. Do you understand that distinction? And now for the firstborn that are in the land of Israel, this promise that meant so very, very much to them, really, it meant everything to them. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, how was it for that people in the exercise of faith in that promise? You know, the second born and the third born and the fourth born, they can say to the first born, you must trust now in that promise of the Lord. For that firstborn, that was not so easy. Do you also understand that? Because there is a firstborn still today, the same as there was a firstborn then. And it is a firstborn that goes condemned over this world. And that needs the tokens of the assurance of God in order for faith to be an exercise. But wherein now lies the safety of that people? What does the Lord say? He does not say, and when you see the blood, I will pass over. No, he says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Then it was not dependent upon the faith and the comfort of that firstborn. And for them, it is not all the same. No, one may see it once and may have much rest. And another has to see it over and over again. But the safety of the people does not lie within them. Their safety and their comfort, they are two different things. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The Lord will not look at the people. There is nothing in that firstborn that the Lord will look for in that awful night. It matters not whether their sin be small or great. It matters not whether faith be small or great. No, it is a chosen people who are behind the blood. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth them from all sin. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, what a satisfaction lies in that blood. Congregation, how sin has offended God. Sin has brought already in the very beginning that angel of death into the world. Because death is the wages of sin. Moses, he went to the Lord later. He says, Lord, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book. What did the Lord say? No. Him that sinneth against me, him will I blot out of my book. All the self-sacrifice of Moses that was insufficient. Oh, the law. The law knows no mercy. Justice that is so inflexible. But what does the Lord say? He says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, what a satisfaction. What a satisfaction is lying in that blood. It is a satisfaction of the justice of God that is able to silence all the accusations of the law of God, that is able to turn away the very angel of death, that is able to reconcile a sinner with God, that is able to take away all the obstacles that are standing in the way, that the love of God, the mere love of God, was not able to take away. Oh, that blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Here will be the distinction, the basis of that distinction between the Egyptians and the Israelites. The firstborn, Israel, is my firstborn. Here is the basis of their deliverance from the land of bondage, so that they will not forever be destroyed with the wicked. But if it is not applied, it shall avail them nothing. If it is not applied, they shall still be destroyed with the Egyptians. We see that on and on. Because later, then it was that the sacrifices had to be slain, and the blood had to be, children, what? Had to be sprinkled. Never forget it. Never forget it. That is the other part. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Congregation, is that blood now applied unto the doorpost of your heart? Oh, how many today in hell have not heard of the blood of Jesus all their life? You know what they never believed? They never believed that they needed the application personally. They never sought it. The outward hearing was enough. Their emotions were enough. A few tears were enough. A contemplative knowledge was enough. As long as my fellow man spake well of me, that was enough. Of what is that proof? What is that proof that proves they are not the firstborn? It proves that they have never heard and never had to do with that angel of death, because then it would have become different. Oh, how often do not those who have most to fear have the least fear? And those who have nothing to fear, oh, they have much fear, if they may only know that it is right with them. Therefore, our fathers, they have stressed the necessity of the experimental preaching of the gospel. Yes, the objective that is so necessary, the preaching of that slain lamb that is the basis of the salvation of the church of God. That is the doctrine. Do you believe that doctrine? Do you love that doctrine? Luther, he said, doctrine is heaven. But congregation, it is not heaven unless it is personally experienced. It is not heaven unless it is lived out in our soul. Often, the fears are many for the true people of the Lord, but it is still so dark. And then what is necessary? It is necessary that the Spirit of the Lord, He gives just a little light. A little light. That they may see the tokens. What does the Lord say? The blood on the house that was not necessary for Him, but it was a token, a token. And now when the people, that firstborn, may have just a little light to see the tokens, to see the marks, then they may receive a little comfort that it is not only for others, but that it is also for me. Is it also for you? Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, bring thy word in our hearts. Show to us that judgment that is coming, that we may seek to know that we are hidden behind that blood. Lord, look on us. Forgive our many sins, young and old together. Bring us safely home and with desire in thy house in this afternoon again. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 236, 3 and 4. How great thy love appears, that be death's gloomy fears no more dismay. O God, to anger slow, save me from every foe. Thy loving kindness show, thy truth display. 3 and 4 of 236. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.